Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
You don't have to let the devil rule over your life.
But he came, he died on the cross for your sin. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able, to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept?
I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that he came. Yes, I am.
He came to seek and save the lost.
That's the reason why his presence is there. That's the reason why the anointing is there. That's the reason why he's right there in your home, right there in your God, right there in your car, right there in that jail cell. He came to seek and save.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is January the 30th, 2012. Again, we just say thank you for tuning in. Please call someone, text someone, and let them know that I am on the air. Let's talk. The chat room is open for questions, comments, and or concerns. And, of course, as I always say, due to the sensitivity of the matter, we will let you remain anonymous if you choose to do so. If you do want to reveal your name and you don't have a problem with that, that is not a problem. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com, or you may go to my website, www.oddsagainsttheletteru.webs.com. You can leave a comment or you can post your contact information if you have a question or you need resources for whatever the concern is, and I will definitely be able to assist you. If you desire to be a guest on the show, please email me and we will be in touch with you as soon as we can set a schedule. I also want to take the time to say thank you to some of my supporters. Thank you. I know you have been such a blessing to me. Dr. Du, out of Colorado, he also has two books published, Teddy Bear, Stolen Innocence, and Don't Say a Word About This. And you also may be able to find those books on that website as well, on my website as well. And just Google his name and those books, and you may purchase them. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he also has them on ebook as well. I also would like to say thank you to Apostle Shirley Robinson, Foundation Builders Family Institute. Thank you to Apostle Timberlake. Thank you to Brother Drew Jackson, Apostle Kane, and there are others who have been a great support. There are others as well. Wanted to also take the time to say thank you to some of the sponsors that have sown into Victory Against All Odds. Today we want to continue our discussion on child abuse. As we continued our discussion, I encourage you to go back and listen to January the 9th and January the 23rd to review so that you can kind of keep this going and follow along as we continue on today. As you know, we have identified our survival tools, and now we're going to move to the next step towards healing. On last week, we spoke about one of the most essential parts of the healing process of child abuse is telling the truth about your life. And even though we said that this is difficult for survivors to do, it is one of the most powerful tools that we possess. And even though this is a negative experience, we take a leap of faith and just tell. Why? Why do we tell? Because telling is transformative. When we tell, we are breaking barriers. We're tearing down walls. We're ripping up the roots of fear, shame, secrecy, and denial. And then we're releasing the spirit of freedom. We're releasing the spirit of truth. And we're releasing strength and we're releasing power. So, just to kind of get some more details on that, if you go back to last week, 123, you can pick that up in detail. So today we're going to build on that brick. So we want to continue talking about child abuse and telling. We're going to go to the next brick, which is the child within. The reason we must talk about the child within is because we have to unlock that secret that comes out so that we must deal with those things that are attached to that. Telling, to tell is attached to forgiving. Who are we forgiving? We are forgiving ourselves. But in order to do this, we've got to go back to the beginning. Where is the beginning? The beginning is in our childhood, that little girl, and for some, that little boy. We can't forget about the little boy as well, whose innocence was stolen. Too often we blame that little girl or that little boy as we become adults. And the reason why I say this is because forgiving is an essential part of healing. So as an adult, we have to forgive that little girl or that little boy. And so why? As a little girl, we often, or a little boy, we often feel like we were guilty for needing the affection. Or we hate ourselves for being small and for needing to be loved. The idea of allowing the abuse to take place can be a recording in our mind. And so we need to do something about that, because we know for ourselves as adults, we know that's not true. But it does happen to us as child, because our cognitive development has not, you know, fully developed, and we're not able to comprehend at that age. Okay, so you're feeling trapped between two worlds, the adult you are now and the child that lives inside. If you recall, on last week we spoke about telling, and when we tell, we become vulnerable. How and why are we vulnerable? Well, there are several reasons for that. One, we talked about coping, and we talked about covering up our vulnerability. Two, telling exposes the vulnerability. And three, we're acknowledging that we were a child, and when it means remembering that we had no power to protect ourselves. And then four, remembering the shame and the pain that comes with it. Remember, we talked about the shame blame factor when we talked about child abuse. And of course, acknowledging that the abuse happens diffuses the coping skill that we talked about ignoring. So if you can see that we are exposing a whole lot here. The child within means we now must go and get to know that child and make contact with that little girl or that little boy within ourselves. Taking control and gaining strength means that we must gain an intimate relationship with that little girl and that little boy so that we can hear that depth of that pain, and that we can then begin to face that demon, face that terror, and confront that thing in the night. Is this easy? Of course it's not easy. But we know that we are using our weapons, we're using our tools, and we know that this is part of that purging process, taking control and gaining our strength. Remember, I said you must have to lose, sometimes we have to lose everything in order to gain what we need. I'm going to say it again. We must sometimes lose everything we have in order to lose, to gain what we need. In other words, we may have to lose all of those coping skills that we use to survive in order to gain the weapons we need to survive, to live life, to be able to thrive and live that life that we were created to do, to be joyful and to be happy. This is why I am just a stickler, and I keep telling you over and over and over again that we must have our support systems in place. Reason why is because we're vulnerable, and we're going to go through an emotional roller coaster. I'm just being real. It's going to happen, but it is okay. Just make sure that you have your support system in place. You got to begin to learn to trust yourself. We must begin to hear that inner voice. The inner voice is the voice that warns us that something is a little bit off. Something just don't feel right. Something is wrong with this picture. So as we begin to trust ourselves and listen to those inner voices, that inner voice, the more you listen to that voice, the stronger the voice becomes. And then this is also increasing your trust within yourself too. And then as you begin to listen to this inner voice, it becomes louder. The voice will be different for each individual. So, you know, I'm giving you something broad, but as you know, it's going to be different for each one, for each male, for each female. But you do have a voice. That's the thing. And when I talked about us gaining victories, some of those victories are going to be small. Some of those victories are going to be large. But as long as you are moving forward and not backwards, you are gaining victory. You are gaining strength. You are gaining power. If you are paying attention, we are peeling away those coping skills that keep the secret hidden. So we are beginning to be more visible and more vulnerable. But at the same time, like I said, we're gaining power. We're gaining strength, and we're gaining the ability to stand on our own. You are acquiring and using the weapons that you possess. And this is just powerful. You are taking back what was stolen. You are putting those things back in order. Remember, we talked about 20. We talked about 12. We talked about 12 being broken up 1 and 2. 20 representing redemption. 12 representing divine order, or just putting things back in order. And if you break 12 down, 1 means primary order and 2 means separation, division, separating light from darkness. So we put all that together. You're taking back what was stolen. You're putting things back in order, and you're separating light from darkness. Oh, wow. That is just powerful. So I'm excited. So let me just kind of calm down a little bit. I am just excited. I'm really kind of done here. So from here, what we're going to do, so I've given you some good things here. From here, we're going to begin, now that we have kind of talked about those things, and as time goes on, as you understand, these things are going to take place. Little bit by little bit, each day, each week, each month. So from here, hear me well, from here, now that we have kind of gotten these first 4 things under control, we've talked about those coping skills, now we're going to the healing process. We're getting ready to have our funeral service. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're headed towards a funeral service. Be prepared. We're going to begin to bury all the dead things that are attached to child abuse so that we can live. And I'm going to pause right here. And I am going to, I do have some calls and cues. I can do that. If you don't want to speak, then you can just say you don't have anything to say. Good afternoon, caller 6961. You are on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. Do you have anything to say, a comment, or question?
Oh, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Elizabeth. I am so sorry. I didn't know that I was on the queue to speak. Amen. So I don't want to interrupt, but how do I pull myself off of it?
Okay, so you don't have anything to say?
Not
just want to listen?
Yes,
okay, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you for listening, and just stay tuned. Okay, I'll go to my next caller. Thank you for listening. This caller, 5693. You're on the air. Question, comment, or concern? Okay, and that's fine. You have something to say? Caller 5693. Caller 7437. You're on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. Do you have any question, comment, or concern?
Yes, good afternoon. Praise the Lord, Evangelist Benton. I do have a comment, and as you were going through the mechanisms that a person would use as a tool, and you mentioned the cutting away and letting some things go and more or less a release process, a process of facing it, and then deciding that what has happened will mean letting the weight, if I can use that analogy, that letting the chains and the shackles come off.
Yes.
I can recall through my days in the valley as a child overcoming sexual and physical and mental abuse. This is Apostle Robinson. One of the ways that I dealt with a tearing away or shedding is I had an invisible playmate. I started to use those tools to surface and to bring to light out of that dark pit that I was going through this, my coping mechanism was an invisible playmate. And each time it happened, the way I communicated to my mother was to say that my playmate visited me and she had some concerns and she was concerned about me. This was my way of dealing with the hurt, of dealing with the anger, of dealing with the denial, and of crying out for as a child, as a young child. I don't even think I'd started the school. The way I dealt with the lack of protection, the lack of acknowledgement, is I expressed it through this invisible playmate.
Uh-huh.
And now that I look back as a saved woman of God and looking at those times, my mother dealt with it in saying, well, where is she? I don't see her car. I don't see her. No one dropped her off. And I simply said to her, I said, she came out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
She was transported. And she said, well, how do you mean she came out of the sky? I said, well, today she arrived by helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
She usually travels by plane. And so really, that was God's way. Now that I look back and I just think about this thing and just kind of put this thing on the table and just look at how even when we do not understand it, we do not have ways to express ourselves. And whether we're a child or whether we're an adult or whether we're, you know, in a state of where we cannot find the words, God gives us a way to express. Tools are powerful expressions. It's a communication factor. And even whenever you are telling the truth and you're exposing what has happened, you've exposed what you've experienced, that mechanism of communication allows you a protective covering.
Yeah.
A covering to say, I don't understand what happened and why it did happen, but it should not have happened. And in my own limited way as a child, I probably was about 4 or 5. When I started to share with her what had happened. She dismissed the invisible playmate. So when you said that we should have a funeral, I understand exactly what you're saying. So I lost some things. That expression of reality of putting that truth out there and having that truth rejected put me in another dimension of not wanting to face reality, of really going further into denial as to what happened.
Yes.
And I believe this is where the enemy comes in, and folks start to lose their identity. They start to lose who they are. And, you know, they start to see things in a twisted, contorted manner, and they start to disregard the things that God has placed in them. And I believe it's at this time whenever that truth is put out there and your caretaker or whoever you share this with reduces and plays down what has happened to you, I believe it's at that time that light that you're trying to bring over that darkness, the darkness starts to overpower that light, and you start to go into that state of denial where you don't know whether or not you are a man or a woman or you want to remain that way. I believe it's at that time the gate comes open and people start to make conscious and unconscious choices, what kind of decisions they will make as an adult when things like that reoccur.
Yes.
Yes, the name of God, this happened. And I was trying to share as a child with my mother. Now, what made it just interesting, and I'm just going to get off so someone else can talk, because this is helping someone. This is a blessing and bringing some kind of healing to some of your listeners that are listening today. The way my mother exposed this situation is she simply would tell people, and even to this day, she will not embrace that truth, but tell part truth. You know how whenever the serpent came to Eve in the garden, he gave her some truth. You see, there's something about when things happen and you play them down and you do not face the real deal, the enemy starts to set you up. If it happens in your childhood, he starts to set you up where you start to not face things. And so the way she would tell people that this happened to me, because she was a teenage mother when I was born, she said, "Let me tell you something funny that happened. When our daughter would start to use the restroom, she would take her panties off and try to sit on my husband's head." Well, you know, when you hear that kind of graphic details, when you hear that kind of madness in this day and time, people automatically, a light comes off and they say, "Wait a minute. That's not something that you boast upon. That's not something that you just tell people, just like you say, oh, by the way, I went shopping today." This was her way, as a teenage mother, and dealing with what happened and acknowledging that it happened.
Right.
And so the story continues. I embrace that lie because I'm embracing the denial of her making like it's not a big deal because I don't understand what really happened. And then she embraces the denial as a teenage mother, almost 18, that something did happen, but she is a child herself because she was married as a minor. And so the way she deals with the truth is she puts further denial. And so we start to build a generational curse, Shando Rabasanda, of
yeah,
lies. This seed starts to build a stronghold, and this stronghold starts to build a curse. And this is what happens in families today.
Yes.
And so you find people, they go through this dilemma, they go through this episode. And even as adults, when you start to give them the truth, when you start to tell them the truth, they start to shut you down. And that stops that funeral process of things that are insignificant. When you have a funeral for something, that is to bring the truth of how things played out. When people die, I don't care how you play down how they lived, the evidence of what they did, how they lived, who they chose in life to serve, and how they treated people, it's evident.
Yeah.
You can lie about it, but you can't deny it. You can't run from it. It's the same thing with being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Either you were molested or you were not molested. And so as an adult, glory be to God, I'm going to fast forward this thing. God dealt with me.
Uh-huh.
And I am so glad that he dealt with me because me answering my call. See, we came up in the church, and I sang in the church and played music and sang in the choir. So I had all the evidences when I sang in the choir. And I came to church, there were marks and bruises on my arms from the abuse. And church people looked the other way. They did not get involved. So I had made up in my mind, when I got older, I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with the church. I wanted nothing to do with singing gospel music, more or less answering my calling.
Right.
Because I saw no protection coming from the people of God and the environment of God, and I thought that what you do is you just kind of go through the motions. So I had made up in my mind that I was not going that direction. I was simply going to take my gifts and what I had and take them to Hollywood, if I can say that. And so God intervened. I had a Road to Damascus experience. And my Road to Damascus experience was my finding out that I had throat cancer. So not only had I gone through that, but in the midst of dealing with that, at age 9, here I had to go off and be treated for throat cancer.
Yeah.
And that's a subject of something else, a whole different story. But what am I trying to say? I'm saying during the course of my earlier childhood, the enemy wanted me dead.
Yeah.
And between the thing that happened with me being healed of throat cancer and me being sexually molested and sexually abused and physically abused, the devil thought that he would use the people in my family, the people in my environment, to destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
But my Road to Damascus experience is when God brought all of that truth of what had happened to me. When I started to have a funeral and eulogize those things that had occurred, the A word appeared, and I'm not talking about the anointing, anger surfaced, which is another tool. Because as long as denial is embraced, anger will brew. And when people are telling you truth as an adult, you start to shut them off. People will say, I have a problem, I have a need, and it may be a child. You know, somebody listening could be a mother, and you may have a daughter or you may have a son, and they're telling you things that are going on in your life, and yet your job is to embrace that truth so that whatever deliverance, whatever victory that needs to come to place so that those bad things and those terrible things that they're sharing with you can be funeralized. They can be killed.
Right.
When you start to reject that truth, you start to invite those satanic forces.
Right. That's right.
So I didn't want to be on the Lord's side. I didn't see him as a protector. I didn't see him as a refuge. Remember, I'm a child being placed in an environment at home and then an environment in the church. So my only way of escape, again, the tool is another way, escaping is another tool, was to deny and then run from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I elected through my course of running to just remain angry on a self-destructive mission. And you can tell when folk are angry, whenever deliverance and healing has not taken place, because when you talk to them, you can hear the hurt through their voice. You can hear the anger through their voice.
Yes.
You can have a conversation with them, and they're expecting the worst.
Yes.
You cannot not call them for a day or two, and they believe that they've done something wrong.
Say that.
There's a need to control everything because that anger has put them in a position where they're out of control.
Okay.
And so my anger took me on a course of sin. It took me on a course of deception. It took me on a course of denial. It spun out of control. And at one time, even after I said that I would accept God and not turn my back on him, that denial, because I was not dealing with that anger part, opened the door for satanic forces.
Mm-hmm.
And I was presented with ideas of going into satanic worship and going into Wicca and going into witchcraft.
Okay.
Because when you start to deny truth, it opens the door for the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness want that door open so they can bring destruction. Denial is a bad force.
It is.
And they're people. They go through relationships. They cannot connect with folks. They cannot communicate with people. They cannot embrace and receive people for who they are. Because that place of denial is still at work in their lives. And they go through one situation, one marriage after another marriage, simply because buried beneath all of that shield is the mindset, I see you for who I want to see you for, even though you're telling me that I did this, but I don't want to receive that. I don't want to receive the truth that you're bringing to me. So I have envisioned in my mind who I think you should be, who I think you are.
Mm-hmm.
See, this denial, when you go through this sexual thing and people, it's a tool if you'll exchange it for dominion, if you'll exchange it for embracing truth.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you graduate from the school of denial. Once you funeralize those things that are coming at you and face that reality, even if the person that you shared this with does not embrace that truth, if you'll embrace that truth and say, yes, it did happen, and because it did happen, I'm angry, and because it did happen, I'm I'm out of control, and I want to control people. And when people start to have a communication, a conversation with me, if I don't understand what they're saying, I've got my mind locked on what I wanted to believe and what I think it should be, rather than hear them out from their perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it sets you up where you are unable to discern. I know I'm taking the long way home on this, but somebody is getting set free as I just share this. The purpose for the powers of darkness to have you buy that ticket of denial is so that it blinds your ability to discern.
Mm-hmm. It does, yes. Yeah.
Because discerning means embracing truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give one example, and then I'm going to get off so someone else can share. If you call me and you say, Apostle Robinson, this is happening in my life. Today this happened to me. I need to hear out what happened to you. I don't need to play down what happened to you. I don't need to have my mind already made up on what I think you should be saying or what I think you should be feeling.
Right. That's right.
I should hear you out. If you love me enough, and this is how people are all able to connect and bond and have a long-lasting relationship with people. Some people think that you have to call somebody every day and talk to somebody every day, even if you're not in the same house, and if you don't do that, there's something wrong. That's the wrong answer, because once you connect with somebody and you can be yourself, you can be real, you can take the mask off and say, this is me, and that person says, you know what? This is who they are. This is what they do. This is what they said. Even in the midst of that, when you see that they missed the mark, that they've sinned, or that they want to sin, you're not embracing that sin nature. You're not embracing the viciousness or the evilness. You are seeing that person. That person loved you enough to say, I love you enough that I want you to see me. Can you discern what I'm trying to give you? Or will you deny? Because you don't want to embrace that truth.
Yes.
In our home, because of the journey that God allowed me to take, I'm thankful today. Our children are able to quietly come to me, and whatever madness, whatever mess that they got involved, as a mother, as a wife, as a minister, I'm going to hear out whatever it is that they have to tell me.
That's right.
I'm not going to call them stupid. I'm not going to call them silly. I'm going to hear out where they missed the mark.
Right.
I'm not going to make up in my mind that my child, my son or daughter is perfect, because they're not perfect. They're going to miss the mark. But I want to hear. I can remember a situation where our son, who's a prophet, he said to me, he said, I had me a little something other that I smoked, and we did some so-and-so. And he said to me, I said, well, are you still doing that? He said, no, said, I stopped doing that. And I said to him, I said, yeah, right. So then I shared with him, look, remember, this is your mother. And whatever you have done or thinking about doing, either I did it, or I thought about doing it, or somebody that I knew did it, so just go ahead and lay the cards on the table. Let's deal with this thing.
That's right.
Let's deal with this thing. The actions could be bad, but it doesn't make you a bad person. Call somebody. You know,
sometimes
people don't want to talk to you, because when they get in on the telephone or they meet face-to-face, you already got your mind made up as to who you think they should be. And they're trying to say, look, can I be myself? Can I tell you what, how I missed it? Can I tell you what I did? So I can recall one situation where he said that he had stopped and he did not stop, and I knew that he did. And I was in search of that truth. I did not want to know that I was going to embrace that denial and let those powers of darkness come in my home and come in my life and come between my relationship with my son.
That's right.
So I found what he said he was smoking. I found it.
Okay.
I found it.
Uh-huh.
When I found it, I simply anointed the room. I anointed the bed. And I began to pray. And I told the Lord, I said, now. I said, he said that he didn't. I said, but I believe that he's running from the same thing that I ran from.
Uh-huh.
I said, but I want you to do in your word what you promised. And you said that you good, you give good gifts. The same way we give good gifts and good things out of you, and you give good gifts to us. And Father, I want you to allow me that once he comes to the realization that this is not good, let him have a road to Damascus experience, so the next time he lights up, he'll see and hear your voice.
Right.
He'll see and hear your word. And not only that, he'll call me. And we'll talk about why he believes that he has to not share this with me, to make it known to me that there's somewhere he wants to hide. There's something that he wants to use to go into denial. So sure enough, he lit up, and he called us. And he called me and his father, and he said, I am such and such a place, and I cannot find the way home. I said, where are you? And he told us where he was. And I got on the phone as I talked with him on my cell phone, and I said, well, don't drive. And as I talked with him, I said, glory to God, I'm so glad that you shared this with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not understand how you make us feel by letting us know that something in your life has happened? And it is so traumatic, it has hurt you to the point that you've got to go into another direction and find some other means other than God, other than the thing that you've been taught. I said, we love you for that. We don't love what you did, and we don't embrace what you did. But we love you for loving us enough to say that you missed it, to say that you did it, to say that it happened. Now, we're coming. We're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Know that we love you. We don't like what you did.
Yes.
But we love you. We still love you. It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It doesn't mean that you're going to be banished from the home. It doesn't mean you're going to be banished from the family. But I want you to know that we love you. We love you because you love us enough to tell us the truth. You loved us enough to say, I'm in trouble. I said, and because you come to yourself, I said, I pray to God that we get this telephone call. I said, now we're able to do something because we're facing this truth. I said, remember when I asked you? He said, yeah. He said, but I didn't want to hurt you. I said, what would have hurt me was your not telling me. I said, because you're still our son, and we still love you. But what lets me know that you love me even more is you loved us enough to call and to tell us the truth. You didn't call a friend. We're glad that we have a relationship with you, that you could call us. You didn't call a friend, and the friend tell you, you know, and then you get out there on the road, and you
Holy
do
Lord.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. We love you that you didn't get on the road and drive and hurt somebody and kill somebody, or you tried to go to a friend's house and get further into darkness and get further into denial. We love you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And as we got to him, I had prayer with him on the phone as his father drove to the location.
Praise God.
And you know, Evangelist Benton, I'll tell you something. Because I went through the valley of the shadow, and because I went through that training process,
uh-huh.
I was able to take the divine tools that God gave me when he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, when he brought me into his place, his position of being seated where I knew who I am and my calling in life and why God called me and why I went through what I went through. I told him, I said, I thank you for doing this. I said, because I'm going to take these tools. I'm going to use these tools as a mother, as a wife, as a minister, as a friend, as a whatever capacity, wherever life carries me.
Uh-huh.
When somebody calls me on the phone or somebody sends me a letter, somebody says, let's meet for lunch, and they say, you know, I've got some news and it's not good and you're not going to be happy with me. I said, I thank you that you put enough love in me that people will come from all walks of life and they'll share with me
uh-huh.
how they want to be delivered and how they want to be set free. And I said, God, give me wisdom and understanding on how to minister to them, how to pray with them, what answers to say, what questions to ask. I said, I don't want to live a life where people think that there's nowhere to go
uh-huh.
but down and to
right.
remain down.
That's
I'm just
right.
going to conclude there because I know that your switchboard is lit up, and I know there are others that want to just share some of this. I call it nuggets from heaven, priceless jewels, priceless tools that God gives us, even in the midst of the darkest times. And for that, I'm forever thankful. I thank God. For that, for him giving me that training, for me going through that process mm-hmm. of going from denial to deliverance and from deliverance to dominion. And when you walk in that dominion, you're able to discern. You're able to hear what the person is saying, and then you're able to hear what the Spirit is telling you to say to that person, how to embrace that person, how to love the person, not the sin,
right.
but to love the person and say, you know what? I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go through that when
mm-hmm.
I went through something. And it was sinful. And the
mm-hmm.
same God who brought me out will bring you out.
That's
and
right.
And so to God be the glory in that he will meet us where we are. Even when people deny what has happened, when people deny
mm-hmm.
what was done.
That's right.
I'm just thankful, Evangelist Benton, that if we'll go to God, if everybody says that what we said was untrue, and this happens oftentimes when people go through this, they'll tell you
uh-huh.
that you told a story or that you lied or you to be quiet with it or don't say a word. They will say, you'll get these kind of comments, but we have a place where we can go.
Uh-huh.
We know when there's something not right, we can't put our hand on. When he starts to reveal himself to us, what people don't understand is this. You can deny what happened to the person, but if that individual is in search of getting delivered, in search of having that funeral and laying aside that dead weight, God will start to draw them. And that truth will start to unveil. They'll start to face that truth. God will start to bring deliverance. God will start to bring strength.
Yes.
And that will start the road to overcoming whatever problem and whatever setbacks that they endured through that time. And so now, I don't know why people fool themselves into thinking if they tell somebody what happened to them didn't happen or they deny it, because once that individual, that spirit of God that he put in man, that breath,
uh-huh.
and man became a living soul, once you have been predestined, been chosen by God for a certain work, if I can use that, and you
uh-huh.
start to feel unclean, you start to feel nasty, you start to say there's a better way, that's God wooing you. His spirit
yeah.
is saying, I've got better for you. And as you start to draw closer to him, he starts to unveil that truth. He starts to unveil what happened to you. And you start
that's
to
right.
face it. And you start to draw strength. So
that's
to God
right.
be the glory.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I'm just going to leave that with you today. But I thank God for your being that voice, because there are people that are listening, and they don't know where to start. They don't know how to come out and say, you know, this is what has happened, and this is how
mm-hmm.
God has brought me. And some
mm-hmm.
are still in denial. And when you
mm-hmm.
run into them, you have a conversation with them. They you can't have a long conversation. You cannot connect with them because there's still a part of them that will reject whatever truth that you're bringing to them, and the devil
mm-hmm.
just takes them further and further and further down into despair.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you, Apostle Robinson. And as you were talking, you know, Dr. Dew's book just leaps right out at me. I haven't even cracked the first page yet, but just the title in itself, Don't Say a Word About This, it makes me want to run home and just go ahead and start reading, because I think that is exactly, and I'm actually putting words in his mouth, and he's actually in the chat room, so he's not. Talking live today, but if he hears me and he can type, I can interpret what you're saying. But I think that's exactly his point where he was coming from. And you covered so much, you know, and my mind was just spinning because I remember that invisible friend who was my voice. I remember that invisible playmate. That was my, you know, that really kind of helped me. That was the coping skill, and I even talked about it. If you go back to the first episode on the ninth, you know, that helped us, you know, be able to connect and just be able to even begin to deal with what was going on. But like you said, you know, and I think I even did an episode where I talked about. My voice was to the supporters, those who are going to be part of that support system. You got to be able to listen. You got to be able to hear what is being said and not clam up and shut down. You've got to be able to let them say whatever it is that they need to say, and you just need to be quiet. And you need to let them get all of that out, the anger, the frustration, the tears. Well, however it is that person needs to get it out, you need to be able to hear them and then not
Absolutely.
Judge them and see them for where they are and not come to a conclusion and allow that person to be vulnerable, because to tell is to be vulnerable, and then to walk them, hold their hand, to get them to the stages that they need so that they can come to a deliverance, because if you're not going to hear them, they're just going to go somewhere else. And, you know, then it's going to cause them to tailspin into the denial, because that was one of the other coping skills that we talked about. Creating chaos was another one, because we're not being heard and we're frustrated, then we're going to get attention any kind of way that we can. Because we're not able to verbalize it, then what? We're going to act it out. and then we just got a mess on our hand. And so these are the things that we're talking about, because in terms of, you know, being able to get to the point where we walk in deliverance, when we walk in freedom, when we are able to walk in victory. But it is not an overnight one. It's not going to happen overnight. It didn't take overnight for it to get to that point. So it's going to take even more so for you to be totally free. And I'm running out of time here, but I thank you, because we talked about the anger arising and just escape and denial and all that other stuff. And I think that's one of the reasons why this was just so needed. And just looking at, you know, my board and everything, apparently it really is, because people are listening. So I thank you for calling, and I thank you for your testimony and just sharing and being very, very just blunt and just straight up with it, because a lot of times, you know, that's not heard, and people need to hear that. And I know Dr. Dew's book is very graphic, and I think he even came on, and I'm going to have Dr. Dew even come back, because we need to hear that, hear somebody
yes.
that's listening, who knows somebody that was them themselves, and they have never, ever been able to share or tell it, because they can't find anybody that will hear, that will listen. And when you don't hear and listen, then you keep that person you know, from being able to walk in freedom, you know, or they're going to go to someone that they can, especially us in, as leaders in the church.
Right.
So I said, thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Evangelist Benton. I will leave with something very profound that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
When a person loves you enough to tell you the truth and to go further and to let you see who they really are, they have given you a gift that is so priceless that the only way that you can show your gratitude where Christ is revealed is to embrace the truth that they give. And after embracing that truth, show his love. And then you love them enough to hear that truth they're presenting.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've missed it here on this journey. I think we think if we give people tangible gifts and so forth, we think that that's it. When you connect with an individual, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in ministry, whether it's a counselor, whether it's a good friend, and that person loves you enough, they can see Christ in you, because really that's what it's all about. When we go to God and we can, you know, he already knows who we are, but he's looking for us to be transparent. He's looking for us to say, oh, God created me. Search me, God. You know, I believe that's why David was a man after God's own heart, because David was able to go to God and tell God. And some people say, well, now, you can't go to everybody, because some people will throw you on the bus.
Yes.
That is true. But if you have a heart to seek after truth, the way, the truth, and the life, God will send someone into your life. And you can be yourself. And you don't have to put on airs. And you can say, this is me. And I have a sister. She's not a biological sister. But our relationship has grown, and it's grown in leaps and bounds, because she said to me, she said, you know what I love about you? I said, what is it? She said, you're easy to love. She said, but I can be me. You know, when you can go around people and be yourself, that's a priceless gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the devil has robbed people of precious relationships, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a son and daughter, mother and son, whatever the case may be. It's because, you know, there are people that have blown their brains out and committed suicide because they thought there was nobody that wanted to hear. And so, Evangelist Benton, we thank you. We're just so thankful for you and Dr. Dew and the leaders throughout the United States and on the international waters that are listening to this broadcast. That you're saying, and you're saying it very strongly, we're here. We love you enough. We love God enough to hear. And you can be transparent. And we're not going to be judgmental in what happened to you and what you have to say. But we're going to love you because you've given us the truth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're right. And I think that... I don't know why truth scares people, and like you said, I think you said earlier, and perhaps it's because there are some still underlying things that that they may be carrying that they don't know how to deal. And I'm attracted to the fact that they just don't know how to handle that, or they don't know how to deal with what's attached to them concerning that thing that they're shutting down. Or maybe they don't know how to communicate or what to say to the person. And my thing about it is, if you don't know how to help this person, or you don't know how to hear, or you don't even know how to listen, then be honest enough to say, you know what, this is just something I don't know how to help you. I don't know how to give you sound advice. mm-hmm. you know, but I know somebody that can, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you do that person so much more justice than to be upfront and be honest and say, I'm just not the one. And that person mm-hmm. will appreciate you, will love you for
yes.
being you, for being yourself
yes.
and being honest and truthful enough that you just that's just not your portion, as they say.
Yeah.
But at the same time, be a help in the fact that you find somebody that you know can that they can go to, whether it be a friend or a therapist
right.
or an overseer or whatever, because the person that they're sending them to needs to be able to be themselves, be vulnerable, and still you not treat them any differently than you did before you knew.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll at least have answers as to why they're responding and acting in the manner that they have, or the unanswered questions that make you scratch your head. Well, wonder why she responded that way. Well, wonder why she seems sad today. I wonder why she's up today and yesterday she was up today. Today she's down in the valley. Yesterday she was in the
mm-hmm.
mountaintop. Today she's, you know, she's barely making it. Well, that gives you the answer. But if you would
Absolutely.
Ever take the time to just hear and listen,
yes.
like you said, if you don't, if you can't hear, you're not discerning. You can't discern what really, because when people are talking, sometimes it's what is not, it's what wasn't said that you're discerning,
mm-hmm.
and you can then begin to have the whole picture, and then you'll know how what to pray for, you'll know what resources this person may need, you'll know how to help them, and what to say, what not to say, you know, and like I tell, and I've even mentioned it to those people who are a support person, your job is to listen and to hear and not interrupt and not to judge and ask them, well, why was you there? Well, what was you thinking? Mm-mm, none of that. It's too late for that. They've already been condemned. They already feel guilty. They already feel shameful, and they're already blaming themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to the victim or the survivor, I like survivor, then that's where you're discerning and, you know, who to go to. But like you said, if you see this person and you're looking up to them as a leader or someone, then just be ever – then you, that person needs to be able to do just that. Listen,
mm-hmm.
hear, pray, intercede,
mm-hmm.
and accept them where they are, because we have
yes.
not arrived. And we
no.
all have a thorn in our side, if you will. But when
yes.
you talk about child abuse and you're talking about sexual abuse, there are a whole lot of other demons attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a whole lot of other emotions and things
yes.
that are attached to that. So that's why I
yes.
even mentioned, you know, when you open up that Pandora's box, there's a whole lot
mm-hmm.
of other stuff, dead bones that fall out.
Yes.
You know, because like you said, what were they doing to cope? Were they behind the scenes? Were they smoking, drinking? You know,
mm-hmm.
or being, you know, I even talked about being sexually, you know, heightened on an extreme end. I know Dr. Dew talked about that in his book,
mm-hmm.
and he shared lines. I don't think he minds sharing it to the extreme or the opposite. You don't like it at all. You just don't want to have anything to do with it. And then when we talk about marriages, then you're in and out of marriages or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of these things that you have yet to deal with, and you don't
mm-hmm.
want to go through life feeling those undelivered issues of that you know, in life onto other people, or, you know, so, you know, we really, it is something that definitely needs to be talked about. We definitely need to be truthful, and we need to be able to be truthful and hear and listen
mm-hmm.
to that person who has come to you and allowed you to be vulnerable. And
yeah.
I think even, too, to go on and say, angry, you know, because anger is definitely one of those feelings that's going to come up. And this, and that goes mm-hmm. for anything. If you are diagnosed with a terminal illness, you're going to go through those five stages. You're going to go through the denial, and it's funny that we were talking about denial because that, of course, was one of those coping mechanisms. It is very mm-hmm. powerful. And even when you talked about that invisible friend, Lord knows I had my invisible friend became multiple. They had names. The first invisible friend that I had, I remember her name was Elizabeth. She was my first, and then from there I had wow. six more. And each
wow.
invisible friend had their own purpose, just to cope,
right.
just to keep your yeah. mind sane. Just to get from
Crazy.
One day to the next, and for some people, including myself, from 1 hour to the next.
Yes.
So each
yes.
individual friend, Samantha and Elizabeth, all of them had a purpose, I remember. So it was, you're right. And then when you start to try to tell, you use those invisible friends. Me and a leader, we were laughing not too long ago about the little girl coming out, and that is mm-hmm. a product of being
yes.
abused.
Yes.
And it is a product of being abused. It is still there. I can hear
yes.
just as well when the little girl comes out. And it's, I mean, it's for, it has its good and its bad. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the little girl coming out just lets us know that we still are human, we still have, we're in touch
mm-hmm.
with our inner selves. Let me go back to what we were talking about today. Our inner selves, that inner self, that child within still comes out from time to time. And as long as it's in a manner that is appropriate for the setting that is there, that is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
And I get tickled every time I hear it because I know that I have a little girl in there too. But I think we all have a little girl. inside
yes.
of us, or even a little boy inside of us
yes.
that comes out,
yes.
you know, because it's just a coping mechanism tool that we were designed to have to get us through those rough spots when we just kind of tiptoeing and we kind of walking on eggshells, then we need a little help. We go to that inner girl, that inner boy, to kind of help us get through that little barrier we're not quite sure of how to get through. So the little girl or the little boy is used as a coping, as a protection, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, this was good. This was, and I know, like you said, it is helping somebody that is listening
yes.
or will listen
yes.
to the broadcast and just know that these are things that we are needing to tear down and expose.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that we need to just begin to let go and bury. We need to bury some of these things. That's why we're going to be having a funeral service. But I think
yes.
I thank God for you as well. I thank God for you. We're
yes.
going to be taking back, acquiring those weapons that we possess. That I've always, you know, that I've talked about, you know, in the prior episodes, using those tools that we already have within. We have tools that's right within. We don't. It's nothing that you've got to go purchase. These are tools that
mm-hmm.
were there all the time. We just didn't know.
That's right.
We just
that's
didn't know.
Exactly.
So we're gonna
mm-hmm.
take back what was stolen. We're gonna put some stuff
yes.
back in order. We're gonna separate the light from the darkness. You know,
yes.
and even when you were talking about, you know, trying to tell and having that cloud, you know, of
mm-hmm.
darkness hanging over our head. And it's funny that you even said that. I was reading scripture on last night and was talking about, you know, rain clouds being that cloud of rain that bring light and refreshing. But that cloud also in reference to darkness was in reference to God's anger.
Wow.
Yes, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but yes, it also represents his anger.
My God.
You know, and shutting out the light. And so I, Yes, yes. It's just so powerful. So that's why I thought 12 was just so significant this year, because two being separating, you know, division, and then pulling mm-hmm. away that light out, pulling that light out of the darkness.
Yes.
Because if you go back to the beginning, this is blessing somebody mm-hmm. right here. Back to the beginning, when
yes.
you know, the earth was void, it was dark, and pulling
mm-hmm.
that light out of darkness. Hold on.
No. Absolutely.
Mhm. So
yeah. I agree with you. And I thank God, like you, for the little girl and the little boy on the inside. When children come in my presence, you know, God gives us some additional gifts once we go into that realm of dominion. Where we
mm-hmm.
leave denial and we get delivered. God gives us some more avenues and strategic weapons where we're able to help others, no matter whatever level, whether it's an adult or a child. And when you were talking about, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
That childhood, that little girl and that little boy, I have had situations happen more frequently than I can count. When a child comes in my presence, be it a girl or a boy, if that child is being molested and it has not been dealt with, it's exposed in my presence.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is I'm able to discern through the Spirit of God what's going on with that child. You know how you meet children in the marketplace and you go different places and you people say, don't talk to strangers?
Uh-huh.
And they say,
yeah.
you know, they tell the children, they don't talk to, you know, people you don't know. Well, because I've allowed myself to come as a child in my relationship with God to realize that He is my Father and He's taking care of me, when children come in my presence, even if I'm meeting them for the first time, there is a connection. Even if I do nothing other than speak or smile, there's an understanding there where the child is trusting and the child is comforted. But if there's some stuff going on with the child through all of this, God has blessed me. So when that child comes in my presence,
mm-hmm.
if they have been or are being, I'm able to discern
uh-huh.
and to pray and
uh-huh.
to war on that child's behalf to be that vessel. So thank you. Thank you for being that voice for that child. I'm sure as we speak, I don't know the stats, but I'm sure since your broadcast, and this is most unfortunate, since you've been on the air, there's just a number of stats of children that have been molested and abused, and adults and women and men, just since you've been on the air just today with your broadcast, at the start of your broadcast. So this is something we've got to, as leaders in the body of Christ, we can't just put this under the rug. This will not go away.
Right.
It will not go away. And as we get into technology, you know, in the olden days, people would say, shh, don't say a word. But you can't do that now. The young children are getting into technology. They're getting into webcams. They're getting into cell phones and camera phones. And so now you're going to find people that are taking advantage of little children finding themselves going to jail real quickly.
Yes.
And the child may not say a word, but there may be a web camera or a camera on a computer room where this event is taking place, and you're being recorded. And it's evidence, you know, to use against you in a court of law. And so gone are the days of just saying, we're just going to just put this, you know, what happens here stays here.
Right.
Because technology, God has allowed technology, the doors of technology, to be open to such degree that this stuff cannot be smothered. You can't put a lid on this.
like in the olden days, and the person said, you can't tell because it's your word against mine. These children and these individuals not only have tools, but they're mechanisms and avenues to expose the things that happen.
Yes.
So for that, I'm grateful, and we're thankful for you for being that voice, for being that vessel. Know that we love you, and we appreciate you, and we are not happy that you had to go through what you went through, but we do understand what you went through has enabled you and empowered you to keep others from going around the mountain or having to travel that road thinking that there's not a way out.
Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. I thank you as well for sharing and just being a support and all that you stand for and are able to give back out of your experience as well. And I'm going to close on out of here and hope that someone who's listening or who has to listen or who will be listening in the future get something out of this and are able to gain some strength and gain power and continue to work with their support system and be discerning. And then when we come back again, we will begin to have a funeral service, and we're going to begin to bury some of these dead things that have been attached to us, and we're going to begin to live again, as they say. So I thank you again, Apostle Robinson, for calling, and thank you for your contributions on today.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. You are.
Oh, I am way over time, and I'm going to need to. Okay, so against all odds, as we have talked today, we can walk in victory on today. You too can overcome all odds against you. Every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound, don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. So stay tuned in weekly so we can begin to gain understanding of our physical and emotional challenges that we're facing for you, yourself, your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your classmates, your coworkers. Together, we can learn strategic weapons combat the seemingly unsurmountable obstacles that can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. Again, my email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Or you may Facebook me at Facebook at facebook.com/Donise, D-O-N-I-S-E, Benton. Or simply go to my website, www.oddsagainstyou.webs.com. Thank you again for listening. Join me next week, February the 6th at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11:30 Central Time. I will be opening the lines for you to speak on the air. I also have the chat room open for those who need to go into the chat room. Until next time, you're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on blogtalkradio.com. Have a nice day, and certainly remember to walk in victory.